protocols and sort of their technical and philosophical implications. So what I do, I do protocol design, mostly. I take scientific research and try to make usable protocols for them. And this track is called Medium as a Message. It's all about exploring technical and philosophical implications of the tools we use. So I'm going to talk about the sort of implications of protocol design. And looking at protocols more like an abstract thing, and not so much as an actual implementation of one single protocol. And the name of the talk is inspired by a great book by Alexander Galloway, which is called A Protocol, How Control Exists After Decentralization. So there's one first technical aspect of whenever you want to try to build any sort of like open system, you're most likely not going to get around like building a protocol. If we want any sort of interoperable system, like it can be done ad hoc, which is sort of the Bitcoin way, where the protocol is the code that is written in Bitcoin D. It can be very explicit by protocol specification, and of course there can be discrepancies between spec and implementation. And then there's the social aspect of the systems we're building sort of produce communities, that produce organizations, and so it's very much an important topic to take care of when you try to build a protocol. Also sort of think of, okay, what sort of like systems does this enable to build? And also, more importantly, what sort of accidents does this new protocol enable? For example, like you build the nice state channel protocol, and all of a sudden it's widely successful, all of a sudden there are much less transactions on chain, miners have much less transaction fees, and they might start behaving differently. So please watch out. And protocols are on every layer of what you're trying to build on an application layer. You want to build an auto service, you probably want to need a protocol. You want to build a blockchain, of course, you're going to put one. You want to build like an off-chain market maker, you probably want to need a protocol as well. So, you're everywhere. Where does protocol even come from? I think most people that I've asked, which are not technical, when I ask them, like, what is a protocol, they have this notion of, oh, it's just like a recording of things that happened in the meeting, which is also sort of like the earliest thing which in like ancient Greek word sort of first came from. And then later it sort of became this very like more diplomatic thing, where in diplomacy you have like sheets of protocols and things like that, which try to sort of give a social framework to human reaction, if you will. And this quote here is sort of really nice because it describes very well what the protocol is on a social layer, but like the same thing applies for a technical layer as well. So the protocol is not an end in itself, rather it's a means by which people of all cultures can relate to each other. It allows them the freedom of concentrating their contributions to society, both personal and professional. Protocol is, in effect, the frame of the picture rather than the content of it, which said a lot. It's like, it basically it provides you service instead of like describing the actual contents of what's going on. The sort of thing that then protocols do is like they sort of facilitate network building. So protocols provide the conditions under which networks can be formed, and thus they also shape sort of networks that can be built. So what it even is, like what in protocol, a protocol sort of provide black box services. They're instances, like implementations of a service. And services, like everybody knows, for example, if you want to call someone voice call, there's lots of this is one service, and there's lots of different protocols implementation. You can voice call via landline, you can voice call via voice over IP, your phone, whatever. Different protocols, but the service is the same. And these services so to sort of define externally visible behavior and protocols that end the sort of black box implementations of this behavior. So let's get a bit more relevant to the sort of blockchain content and let's talk, okay, what sort of protocols do we have? And these are sort of an order of first appearance, first we have communication protocols on the early internet, and we have cryptographic protocols, and then in the end we have now crypto-economic protocols. The interesting thing is that as you move from left to right, you sort of start internalizing much more of the externalities of sort of implementing these things in communication protocols. All you assume is it's just is a lossy channel. There are not really adversaries. Everything is nice. You're sort of in a closed network, or like you're on the internet where there are no adversaries. Then cryptographic protocols all of a sudden have this notion of an adversary who wants to interrupt your connection. They want to maybe eavesdrop, things like that. And then crypto-economic protocols they sort of add like the economic dimension to it of people, okay, they have actually monetary incentives or monetary motivations. And what sort of actors do we have in our protocols? We have altruistic rational Byzantine actors. Altruistic actors, they are more than happy to follow any sort of protocol, even if it means losing like tiny amount of money or whatever, or the rational actors are the ones who try to sort of be selfish in the sense that they want to have the best, but still they adhere to the protocol. And then we have Byzantine actors who can basically do anything. They're willing to lose money. They will lose money to attack the chain. They will, So let's get some mechanism. We have communication protocols, which is, like I said, the nice and easy world where everything is good. The most famous example, which is still in use today, is probably BGP, which is sort of the protocol which controls peering all over the internet. Basically, without PGP, the internet doesn't work at the moment. And PGP sort of is a nice and happy place where everybody just assumes everybody is good. There's no sort of cryptographic, at least not yet, cryptographic or even economic incentives around BGP nodes to keep them secure, to announce all the other things. And then these are some like sequence controls, like making sure units are sequenced. For example, by numbering, error control, like if there's lossy channel, you want better prediction, whatever. Then you come to cryptographic protocols, which come in lots of different flavors. But generally just means any kind of protocol that considers adversary, which might be like a Byzantine fault-tolerant consensus protocol, but it might also be any sort of protocol using authentication and providing privacy, such as HTTPS, for example. And not all the things that are listed here are on the same level. Like accumulators might use hashing, and signature schemes might be pseudonymous proofs and whatever. And just to give some examples. And then the crypto-economics protocols, the interesting thing is that all of a sudden becomes possible to punish, or economically punish anyway, participants in your protocol if they don't adhere to the rules of the protocol, which is really interesting. It wasn't really possible before. For example, in proof of stake, lead election, like if somebody misbehaves, double signs, then you might slash their stake. And also gives you like access to a big array of all of a sudden like mechanism design, like auction markets and things like that. You can incentivize people to behave rationally and to sort of lead to a quote unquote desired outcome, whatever outcome might be. And it just makes in general like behaving not according to the protocol much more expensive. This is also sort of a nice thing for security. So but the problem is that when you build the quote from a great book which is on architecture, like some architecture we live in. When you build a thing, you kind of really build that thing in isolation, but you must also repair the world around it and within it, so that the later world, that one place becomes more coherent and more whole. The thing is that the thing which you make takes its place in the world of nature to make it. So this is sort of the things where things start getting messy, because you cannot, even if you want to, build protocols in isolation, unfortunately. Take for example, like the current hype, which is DeFi applications. All of a sudden, the miners have a very high incentive to, for example, in Ethereum, to mess with the ordering of transactions. Let's say you have an Oracle transaction coming in that updates your price feed, and you try to trade on a DEX, on Decentralized Exchange. All of a sudden, the miner has a pretty nice incentive to process DEX transactions before the Oracle transaction, for example, things like that. Or take, for example, in the MakerDAO, you have a debt position, the price changes rapidly, you try to top off your CDP, basically, and all of a sudden, a miner has a very, high incentive to get bribes, and you say, okay, if you don't bribe me, I'm not going to let you top you off your CDP, which is sort of a problem, which not many people have addressed yet. And then there's also problems like front-running transaction redundancy, which is one of the more recent papers by Phil Dye, who gave a talk yesterday on something similar, which is basically exactly what that of in the context of mining, where all of a sudden people realize that miners, if you build any sort of protocol on top of the miners, they have a very, very high incentive to extract more value than they get from fees or from transaction rewards, which basically, because basically the protocols which are on a high level assume that their low level is ideal, which is sort of also like what happened last year with the sidechains attacks on CPUs, all of a sudden people realize, oh, there are more things on the CPU does that our program does not know how to deal with, because there was some sort of abstraction in between, which in the end did not abstract. Did leak into the higher layers. And then there's also one of the biggest problems, which is nobody has really addressed it, which is bribery, especially in proof-of-stake sort of protocols. It would be very interesting to see how using different chains to bribe people in other chains will be used. Would be very interesting. So, let's see, let's say you have an idea for a service, you come up with a protocol, then there's question marks and some other implementation. The process of writing a protocol is very much similar to just normal software design, meaning it's highly iterative, it's very messy. You have often inconsistencies between the implementations and the specification of the writing. And lots of bugs as with software I only found after implementing them, and then you sort of get to this mess, okay, am I going to update the code or am I going to update the specifications? Especially if everything like this happens in the open, as in the blockchain, where people start actually using these things, then it becomes even more complicated. And quite often protocols end up being used in situations that were never designed for, which makes things even worse. So, some sort of guidelines for just the design and the model is always simplicity. If there's more than one way to do something, then it's most likely wrong. Exceptions make everything more error prone because they sort of basically force you to unwind a lot of state, and you end up in quite often in undefined states, which is a mess. And easy features are the features most people will use. So if you have some sort of complicated features, it will most likely not be used, it will not be tested properly, and you will only catch bugs very, very late in the life cycle of this protocol, if at all. Which is then make easy things easy. The misuse resistance is in general a thing for cryptographic protocols. protect that wood. If you write your hash function, you shouldn't, but if you do, and or add on the hash function, sorry, a signature algorithm, like dealing with nonsense is any yes, so try to make things that you're doing misuse resistance, like not real defaults, no automatic leading of some sort of like data, metadata, or whatever. Make everything as explicit as you can, because people will not read the full specifications. They will assume things based on what they've read, and which just leads to a lot of problems, and be very transparent about the facts that the things that you're trying to say have. Another interesting thing, which is not really a thing yet in like many like blockchain protocols, but it's like thinking about depreciation. Like, what would it look like if all of a sudden everybody decided, okay, this blockchain system is now outdated, let's move into a new one, which is sort of happening if 1.0 to 2.0, whatever. But it's usually a very ad hoc process, and it's usually not a thing people think about a lot, because of course when you're designing a protocol, you want it to be used in more or less indefinitely. And then minimization, putting things on chain, costs lots of money, leaking data is also not nice, and yeah. So when you actually try to write a specification, like the thing that people are supposed to read, don't try to be clever, please don't. Repeat words if needed, because otherwise people might think they're different things. If you're just trying to be, not repetitive in the way you write. State diagrams are amazing. If something looks complicated as a state diagram, it's probably too complicated, and people will get confused. And the nice thing with like sort of the state diagram representation is also that it's sort of easier to formalize. And in the end, this sort of the thing that you need to take care of is like good balance between formalism and abstraction. Ideally, if you, in an ideal world, you could write like a formal specification of a protocol and have it implemented automatically, like put into code, that would be amazing. But unfortunately, writing formal specification is really, really hard. Tools are getting better, but it's still a pain, and like trying to actually write a formal like definition of all the things that you, for example, want to include in a consensus algorithm is not impossible. So too much formalism makes it much harder to read and implement for people. So that you have to strike some sort of balance between formalism and abstraction. And probably the most important thing is, if it's easy to misunderstand something, then it's a bug in the spec. Otherwise, you're just not going to be happy, and people will misunderstand you. Yeah, this is the biggest kind of ones. It's like, what happens once people use this thing? What happens once it's deployed? How do you upgrade things? And people will not upgrade. How do you deal with like backwards compatibility? This is really, really hard, especially if everything of this like happens in the open, and you basically have people just as soon as you write something, people start using this, very messy. And yeah, it becomes, especially in like decentralized systems or trying to be decentralized systems, it gets even worse. Not just technically, but also politically, which we've seen quite often in Ethereum itself. So to wrap up with some more like philosophical notes, then network structures can have important consequences for distribution of power. And composition of deliberate grants, they do not produce a flat or fragmented world of diffused power relations and ready corporations. Normally, they tend to become less asymmetric over time. Instead, they result in specific, tangible, and enduring cooperation of power imbalance. Meaning that if your protocol ends up being used or ends up trying to sort of incentivize people for any sort of like quote-unquote rational behavior, you sort of need to think about what is the like, long-term like, play out of this behavior. Things are very sticky. If people are can extract more information somewhere else, they will. And you might end up, even if you have good intentions, you quite often might end up just making things worse and or just trying, like, not including people who, or let's say, you know, people that are actors who might be disadvantaged already, just making more disadvantaged. And that's the end.